Well, good morning, good morning. I would say, I'm going to say good morning, Real Life Chapel. Usually I say, and to those also who are watching via Facebook Live, however, that is nearly all of us, except the less than 10 of us who are gathering here 6.5 feet apart to provide a stream as close to normal worship experience. And some of you, I don't know, I mean, you thought you were the only ones that were going to be able to enjoy this morning in your pajamas? I thought I would take the liberty as well. That way I kind of feel like I'm with you, right? And that you're with us. I have to admit that the past several days, I've experienced a gambit of thought and emotion, as I'm sure others can relate. And I'm just going to share these with you. Again, this is my admission of thought and emotion that I've experienced. Disbelief at the grocery store. Relief that everybody is finally getting on the same page with me about hugging. And grief over the separation from our children and our grandchildren. Fear over realizing as a heart patient that I am now in a higher risk category. Harmony from practicing social distancing in my kayak. Anger when people are all up in my grill when I'm trying to get chicken off the shelf. Gratitude when someone dropped off hard-to-find eggs at our door. Depression, when Laura Lee excitedly opened the box of yet another puzzle. And frustration, while binging The Mystery of Oak Island and wondering how they have a show about finding stuff when they never ever find stuff. And peace that truly comes from only one source, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I've got a question this morning, and it is a we question. And why is that? Yeah, you know what? And it's nice to know the world is finally catching up with us, because we've been doing this for many years saying, hey, we're all in this together, and they're finally getting it. We should probably be getting some royalties or kickbacks on the use of this. But anyway, I do have this question, and so I want us to think about this. Again, I want you to kind of think about this and ruminate on this a little bit. How are we doing? How are we doing? I've spoken with many on the phone the past few days, and I want to give you just a little glimpse at how we are doing, because it's, again, there's a gambit of things. We have folks that are working from home. We have folks that have lost all their business as a result of this pandemic. We have folks that have been back and forth to the hospital during this time. We have folks that are currently self-quarantined. We have folks that are nervous because of their age and health. We have folks that are serving on the front lines of the medical profession and even the National Guard. And we have folks that are even grieving over the loss of loved ones during this time. It's evident that we need each other. We need each other during this time. So please, I'm asking you guys, we need to pastor one another right now. It's not just my job, it's our job. We need to pastor one another right now. So I want to encourage you during this time, I mean, again, exercising wisdom, but we need to take the time, reach out to folks during this time. See if they're doing all right, you know what I mean? I've just chosen that every single day I'm going to reach out and make sure that I talk to 5 or 6 people every single day, different people every day, just to check in on them and to see how they're doing. We could all do that. I don't care what your situation is. We can all do that. Check in to people. See if they're doing all right. See if they need anything, right? Because some folks, you know, unless somebody asks them, they're not going to necessarily share where they're lacking. And figure out how we might meet those needs together. In groups of less than 10, of course, while staying at least 6.5 feet apart. But we can do this. Now, this morning, we've reached the final chapter in the second letter to the Thessalonian believers. And I just want to read through this quickly and draw out a few timely truths. Again, this for you that who may be tuning in for the first time for the last several weeks. We at Real Life Chapel, we've been walking through the letters to the Thessalonians chapter by chapter, and we've reached the final chapter in the second letter. I don't want to spend too much time here this morning, but I still want to be true to what we're doing, because I don't think it's by chance or happenstance that we end up in the scriptures where we do. When we do. And so I still think, you know, instead of just like diverting and everything, and let me make sure I list all of the scriptures that make you feel warm and fuzzy and comfortable, because we could do that too. But at the same time, I think as we're walking through a path like this, I think the Lord can use scriptures, because His Word is living and breathing. And so we're going to continue. We're going to remain faithful to the text we've been in and finish this out. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 through 5, and we didn't print out all the programs and stuff. You're at home this morning. You don't have a program. So I would encourage you to do this. I mean, it's going to be on your screen, but you could actually, like, blow the dust off of that big thing. Some of you got one of these somewhere sitting in one of those wooden things on a table, you know, and you're like, wow. Or maybe, you know, somebody gave you one of these, you know. I would encourage you, don't be afraid of it. Right? You might get infected, but in a good way right here. And so I would encourage you to open up to the 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to read. I want to read this to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and the first 5 verses I'm going to read. It says this: "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you." Kind of like a spiritual pandemic. "Pray, too, that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people, for not everyone is a believer. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you, and He will guard you from the evil one. We are confident in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded you." Verse 5, and I think this is critical for us this morning that we hear this. "May the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ." I think that's timely, you know, for us to have full understanding. You know, and the full understanding is to equip ourselves with fact and not fiction, you know, the truth and not myth. We need to understand our times. We need to understand the situation we're facing. We need to understand what are wise and best practices. But at the same time, we need to be an expression of the love of God. And patient endurance. We need to be not only expression of the love of God, but also the patient endurance that comes from Christ. So full understanding and expression of the love of God, you know, it's not really any rocket science. It's kind of simple. We need to figure out creatively during these times how we can thoughtfully serve one another. Right? Thoughtfully serve one another. Think about those that are in your circle, right? Whether that circle is your family, it's your friends, your neighborhood. You know, who are those that live near you that might be in need? And there's a way that you can help them. Maybe they can't get out. You know, but also thoughtfully think about those in your circle that maybe are in a higher risk category. You know, and try to distance yourself, but also expressing love. And then patient endurance. You know, those are like two fun words put together right there, right? Enduring something and then being patient in the midst of it. And so together, really what it's saying is one word we use most of the time to kind of capture this thought, this patient endurance thing. We use the word perseverance, right? And that's what this is about, perseverance. So perseverance is the capacity to hold out or to bear up in the face of difficulty. Wow, I don't know if there could be a more timely thing right now for you and I to be thoughtfully serving one another, to be expressions of the love of God, but also to be able to hold out and bear up in the face of difficulty. You know, so many of us are inconvenienced in so many ways, but really, inconvenience, is that a big deal? You know, there's a lot of people that are dealing with a lot worse than inconvenience, right? So let's be thoughtful of those who are really going through difficult times. Like I said, I mentioned earlier, you know, there are those who have lost their entire business due to this. You know, that's a little more than inconvenience. So let's pay attention. Let's listen. And if there are ways that we can help somebody, you know, let's do so. We need to emulate the perseverance of Christ, because he's our example, right? It's not just so much that we're going to get patient endurance from Christ, right? I mean, because we do know the Holy Spirit provides us with the gifts of the Spirit, right? But at the same time, I think sometimes we're like, well, you know, I'm just going to wait and until Jesus lays that patient endurance things, when he blesses me with that gift. I'm not so sure that's a gift as much as that is a discipline that you and I need to exercise, you know? So let's do that. Let's use Christ as our example and think about what he went through for us, the sacrifices that he made for us. And how did he conduct himself, right? Philippians chapter 2, a lot of us are familiar with that, and where Paul gives us words, gives us a description of that, you know, and says that we're to have the same mind or the same attitude of Christ. But I want to remind us of the words that he puts just before he gives this description of the attitude or mind of Christ. He says this, Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, he says, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. And I think, again, that's a way that you and I can emulate perseverance, emulate the patient endurance that Christ demonstrated, at the same time expressing his love, but be thinking about others. So if we'll continue in the text, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, it goes on and says this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers. Well, right now we're kind of doing that in a lot of ways, but anyway, he says, stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they received from us. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so we would not be a burden to any of you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. So Paul, you know, the apostle of grace, is being kind of straightforward and firm when it comes to this thing, when it comes to the idle thing and the not willing to work thing. This may be timely advice for us in the coming weeks because of the scenario, the situation that a lot of people are going to be put into. There's going to be real needs, you know, and there are going to be a lot of people with a lot of means that can meet those needs. But we need to exercise wisdom in doing so, right? Folks that are seeking to provide for their families, they're going to be in need. Others that are seeking to hire people, as crazy as it sounds, I mean, you can look online, different places. There's a whole lot of places closing down right now and a whole lot of people losing business. And yet at the same time, and some of them are more menial and task-driven jobs, but there are different industries that are hiring like crazy right now. And then there's going to be those that the church the body of Christ, not just Real Life Chapel, but all churches, are going to be trying to discern as to who to help and to what degree. And so I think it's timely in the sense that, you know, Paul, through what he has learned from Christ, is giving an example, and he's passing things on to the believers in Thessalonica and saying, man, look, if somebody's unwilling to work, they don't need to eat. And I think he's trying to suggest that those that will be in need, if there are people that are unwilling to work, then those might be the ones that we might want to hold back on giving assistance to. Right? And again, he's not talking about a lack of opportunity. Can't ever judge or blame somebody or criticize somebody for an opportunity that's not there, for somebody losing work. But for some that have the opportunity to work that are healthy and choose not to, then we're going to need to exercise wisdom. It continues on, verse 11. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Right? While Paul wants to bring a critique to those that are in error, he doesn't want to, in the same time, discourage those who are doing good. He wants to encourage them at the same time. And I know it can be really challenging when you are doing good and it is your desire to do good and you see like you're not getting feedback from that, or you see other people not stepping up, or you see people having wrong attitudes, and it's easy to let that pull you down, but don't. And that's where we got to keep our eyes and our focus on Christ and not by all those around us. Remember, God is good, ministry is messy, and people are crazy, right? And I think that all you got to do is go down the toilet paper aisle to have all of that substantiated. And if you're watching me by home right now and you've got a huge closet full of toilet paper, you'll be ashamed of yourself. This ain't causing diarrhea. Better drop some off at the church. Just kidding. That's right. Look, what he's trying to do, what Paul's trying to say here is, look, we don't become busybodies, but get busy doing good. And so now we have this challenging time where we're going to have to be creative in how we do that. But there's still going to be opportunity for us to do that. Right? So let's not use this time as idle time to sit around and gossip and figure out how we can figure out what's going on in everybody's world, right? I mean, because we got to be careful. Sometimes that's what the prayer chain is, right? The prayer chain is not the prayer chain. It's the gossip chain, right? Let's not gossip. Let's pray. And let's serve people. Perseverance comes in again. Then 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 says this. Take note. So again, Paul say, look, take note of those who refuse to obey what we say in this letter. Right? So, you know, the way this was done, and I'm kind of glad we're reading through it, not just walking through it, because, you know, these letters were intended to be read out loud. That's the way this was done. These letters were intended to be delivered to a group of people, and they were to be read out loud for everyone to hear. Because sometimes we need to hear it, right? Not just see it on the page, but we need to hear it for it to grab our attention. Take note of those who refuse to obey what we say in this letter. Now, this couldn't be Christian, could it? It's in the Bible. Stay away from them so that they will be ashamed. Wow. This is the ultimate social distancing. Right? But don't think of them as enemies. But warn them as you would a brother or sister. See, this ultimate social distancing that was practiced by the body of Christ, it was not meant to be punitive. This wasn't punishment for people. This had a goal, and the goal was always redemptive. Always trying to seek redemption You got to understand that the people, the Thessalonians, in that day and time, their faith in Christ, the fact that they had declared their allegiance to Jesus Christ in that setting, in that time of where imperial worship was a part, that alone caused them to be ostracized, right? They were already being socially distanced by their community at large because of their faith. And so Paul knew that for now the community of faith to then begin to shun them, if you will, and that's an old term we don't like to hear, but to give some social distance from them, that they're already experiencing that from the community at large, the very community that they were holding on to and depending on, for them to experience that there would snap some people out of their stupidity and get them to do right. That's what he was trying to say. So, you know what that means? We have a biblical mandate to tell people in love when they're acting stupid. Right? Now, we got to exercise it in love, and that therein lies the challenge, right? You know, because some of us just want to tell people that, and there ain't much love in it. And then there's other of us that in our quest or what maybe what we think is love, we don't ever tell the truth. And people just plunge in the pattern of their same behavior when we could have helped them, right? When we could have stood up and said, you know, you guys had a great opportunity this morning. Somebody could have said this morning, you know, you can't clap right, right? You could have done that in the comfort of your own home this morning and called out your family member without embarrassing them and having a chance for them to fly right and to learn what 1, 2, 3, what that's like, right? Okay, anyway. Let me close in this reading because, again, I don't want to belabor this, but I'm so glad we came together this morning. And I hope, in addition to what we're doing here, we sent out an email with some information, a video, and some discussion questions. I really do hope that you try to incorporate that into your household, your family, or even in your small group. You know, this is going to be a time where, again, we need to be ministering to one another. We need to demonstrate this love. We need to find out how we can meet each other's needs. And so I really would encourage you to do those things. You know, tuning in here each week, this is great. This is a way for us to continue to worship together and to be a family of faith. But also I would encourage you to get into those smaller groups and to make those and keep those vital connections that we all need. I love this, verses 16 and verse 18. I'm going to omit 17 just for a second because that's Paul just again reiterating that he signed it so that it's not a fake letter, it's real. But I love this, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Man, if there's ever a time where we need the Lord of peace, the Lord of shalom, of restoration, of health, right? To give us his shalom, his peace, it is now. And I love it. At all times and in every situation. And then there at the end in verse 18, he says, may the grace, right? The grace is the power to do this. He empowers us. Scripture never calls us out to do something that he doesn't provide or empower us the ability to do. His grace empowers us and thus to receive his peace and to walk in that peace and to demonstrate that peace to others. Let's pray.